Things every 13-year-old should know.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to Things Every 13-Year-Old Should Know. Here with my co-host, Wilder. Wilder, how are you?
Hey, guys. Welcome back. I'm doing good. How have you been?
I've been good. It's been cold lately. Got that snowstorm going on outside.
Yeah, sledding earlier was so fun.
Yo, sledding, because we got the day off of school, sledding was so much fun. It got cold. It was so windy, too.
The only thing that made it unenjoyable was the wind. Otherwise, it was really good.
Yeah, it wasn't that cold outside. It was just the wind, and then the snow just hit you in the face. Yeah.
I remember you had to leave early. How was the babysitting?
Oh, it was so much fun. We built this huge snowman. The bottom of it, we kept on rolling it in the snow, and I couldn't even push it. It was so heavy. And the kid I was babysitting, I had him help me, and it was huge. Here's my thing with snow. I like it the first couple of days, but then after, I'm like, okay, you can go in now.
I disagree. I want the snow to stay forever. I love it.
Well, yeah, because you ski all the time. Didn't you go skiing this weekend?
Yeah, I did. I had a lot of fun. Mm. I actually got my biggest jump and my biggest fall ever. I thought I was going to get hurt, but I stood up immediately and I was laughing. It was kind of scary while I was in the air. How about you? How was your weekend?
My weekend was pretty chill. Did a lot of skating this weekend. My grip tape came off yesterday and I was so bummed because I was doing front shoves and my foot kept on peeling the grip, and then I just ripped it all off, and then I had to take it to the shop and the skate shop and get it re-gripped. And
didn't you say you landed your first front shove, moving front shove ever the other day?
Yeah, I was so hyped. Yeah, loved it.
Was it the same day that the grip came off?
I think it was the day after, because the grip came off yesterday. I went to the shop yesterday. It's really crazy because at the shop, actually one of the co-founders of the shop was there, and he's actually going to be on our podcast today and talk about his skate journey, which is awesome. Just all skate. Everyone, please welcome Casey Appledorn. Woo! What's up?
What's up, Casey?
What's up, guys?
What's up?
What's up?
Chilling.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. This is exciting.
Annabelle, show the sweatshirt.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sick. Yep. Nice.
Yeah. Mom got it for me for my birthday. I was super stoked.
Oh, that's sick. When was your birthday?
I think it was last week. Why would I not remember what my birthday was? It was last week.
Well, happy belated birthday.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, Will, you want to start with the question since I did the intro?
Sure. Let's start off. When did you start skateboarding?
I started when I was 12 in Minnesota. My neighbor was a skater, and I used to watch him when I'd walk home from school. I'd see him skating in his driveway. I was like, that looks so cool. And actually, my first board I got from him, he sold me like an old Vision. It was a Mark Gonzalez. One of the reasons he's one of my favorite skaters to this day, because that was my first board. It was a Vision Mark Gonzalez. So for $25, I'm not sure the year, but I was 12. Trying to do the math right now. 89 or 88? Yeah, 88.
Did you get good quick?
No, no. It took a long time. I still don't consider myself good. Like, I'm still learning. Annabelle and I were talking about that on Instagram earlier today. It's one of the things I love about skateboarding. It's like, you know, you master it. You're goofy or you're regular footed and you master it that in your regular stance. And then there's this whole other world of switch where you can then master that. And then the sport itself is always progressing. So it's like, there's always new things. There's always new styles. There's always new tricks coming. So it's, you're always progressing in skateboarding. There's no like, oh, I got the best that I'm going to get. And then that's it. There's no peak. It's you always can progress, which is amazing. Right. There's not a lot of sports like that. I mean, maybe there are, but definitely in skateboarding, you're never not learning.
That's why I like it so much too, because, you know, it's not so serious, because it's not a sport where you have to commit to a team. I play soccer. I skate in my free time all the time, and I've progressed a lot since when I started seriously, probably back in May, and landed my first kickflip in the fall, and I was super hyped. And it was just, you know, that's why I love it so much, because you put so much effort. It's like this one thing, and then when you land it, it's crazy. And also it's like super good for like creativity. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a great way to express yourself, right? Whether it be the tricks you select, the way you grip your board, the board you pick, the shape you skate, the wheels, everything. Like everything is just a little bit of a self-expression. The way you put, the way you push, the way you pick up your board, like everything.
Is it a form of self-expression how you keep your trucks insanely loose? Because I've always remembered you as the guy who has the super loose trucks.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's how you know, the tightness of your trucks, that's self-expression as well. I love my trucks super loose because I'm all about that, the carvy surf style, where skateboarding comes from, right? It comes from surfing, like surfers invented skateboarding in California. So I've always loved that aspect of it, just the freeness of flowing and carving. So hence really loose trucks.
Yeah. Well, were there any big pro skaters that inspired you to start skating as well? Or did you kind of just pick it up off of your neighbor mainly?
It was mainly off my neighbor, yeah, because I grew up in a really small town. Again, like I said, my first board was like an 88 or something like that. So no internet, no smartphones. So yeah, I would see, I saw my neighbor skating, and then I would see Thrasher magazines in the grocery stores and stuff every once in a while. But yeah, I didn't really have much exposure to like pro skaters at first. Except for the Mark Gonzalez board, like kind of was like, oh, who's this? And then, you know, started to see him in the magazines as well. It wasn't until I moved to Florida that I started like seeing videos. Like, you know, I met up with some other young skaters and some guys older than me. And, you know, back then, because there wasn't internet, you would make tapes, right? Like you buy a tape at the skate shop, and then you would have two VCRs and you would dub the tape, and then you would, you know, give a copy to your friend. Some of them you couldn't do that. They had this technology where you couldn't record it. So what we would do is put a video camera on a chair and have it face the TV to record the skate video so we could give it to our friends. And then we would watch it every day. We would try to copy their tricks and see what they were doing. So the question was there pros who were inspiring me? Definitely some of my favorite skaters from back then are Mark Gonzalez, Jeremy Klein, Willie Santos, like all those Birdhouse guys, the Plan B guys like Colin McKay, Danny Way, Mike Carroll, like all the guys skating EMB, the early world industry guys, Daewon Song and Guy Mariano and Jason Lee. Those guys were my all-time favorite back then. Still to this day. Like I collect boards and I always tend to buy the boards that are still those guys, you know, like reissues or some of those guys still, like Mark Gonzalez still has boards coming out to this day. So that's the cool thing about skateboarding too, the longevity. You can skate for a really long time and be relevant, you know?
Yeah. So what motivated you to like move to New York? Was it like the skate or what was it?
Yeah, definitely the skate scene. And I wanted to be a writer too. I was like, I always played around with the idea of writing the great American novel. You know, consider myself a bit of a poet, still do. I don't write as much these days, but yeah, New York just to me was like, you know, I had been listening to tapes that my friends would send me from up here. They'd record the radio, Hot 97. And just everything about the city was fascinating to me. The skate scene was out of control. Like you'd see the stuff coming out of here, like Zoo York and Harold Hunter and all the stuff at the Brooklyn Banks. It was just like, man, I got to get there. And yeah, so it was skateboarding was a big part of it for sure.
I'm wondering, where did you like progress the most out of all the places that you'd been? And did the skate scene in New York help you progress overall?
For sure. You know, I say to this day that the last like 5 years, I probably progressed the most. And I feel like I'm the best I've ever been. There was a time in Florida where I was skating with some guys and a girl, which was really rare back then. And she's a famous skater now, Alyssa Steamer. I was skating with that group of this group, Matt Milligan, Alyssa Steamer, Mackie, Alan Russell. These are some guys from Fort Myers. They're like totally legendary skaters. I was lucky enough to skate with them for like a couple years. And that 2 years in Florida that I skated with those guys, I progressed so much. And it just, you know, I tell all of my students this, I tell anybody who's into skating, get a good group of friends and like, don't be afraid to skate with somebody who's like a lot better than you. That's what you want to do. You want to be skating with these people who are like so much better than you, because that's how you get good. You know, the more you're around these guys who are ripping, these guys and girls who are ripping, the more you're just going to progress with them. I don't know what it is. If it's, you know, I bet it's different for everybody. But for me, it was just like, I was just blown away with what they were doing and was just trying to keep up pretty much, you know, or just try to get even close to their level. But back to, did New York help me progress? For sure, because there's just the skate spots. Now the amount of skate parks, the amount of people skating now, and the level of skating that people are doing in these parks, like at Fat Kid and at McCarran, like you can go there and see some insane skaters on the daily. So yeah, this time in New York for sure has helped me progress a lot, especially in the last 5-6 years. I feel like I've had a nice little progression spurt. And that, again, I think it's the guys that I've been skating with, the whole bridge team and all those guys have really, you know, inspired me a lot.
When was Bridge founded? I totally forgot. You like founded Bridge and are like, are you the co-founder of Ager or just part of the Ager?
Yeah, just part. So I didn't join Ager. I joined Ager like 3 years ago. Ager started in 2012 by a gentleman named Peter. And he's had a few partners through the years. And most recently, his partner, Craig, who I'm sure you guys know, the Australian guy.
Yeah.
He kind of took over the shop because Pete had to move to California. So Craig became Pete's partner. And now Craig is, he's looking to move back to Australia. So now Chris and I, who I'm not sure if you guys know Chris. Chris is actually at the shop. He's kind of the face of the shop. He runs the Instagram. Amazing dude. He's new to the skate scene too. He's like just kind of learning how to skate these last like couple years. But yeah, so me and Chris and I, just this lad, right before the end of the year, became partners of Ager. So both of us started, he started a little bit before me, but I started about 3 years ago. They really didn't have much skateboard stuff at the time. They were really focused on snowboard and surf, but sorry, my cat is like going crazy right now. What was I saying? But yeah, so they were really more of a surf shop when I started, but when I started there, I took over the skate and made a bunch of changes in the skate department. And yeah, it's been really great. Bridge, on the other hand, I founded a long time ago, about like, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago. It's actually Bridge was originally going to be a skate shop. And I was looking, and this is before Labor opened in the Lower East Side. I was looking for a space right around that skate park over there. And I was struggling. Like I couldn't find anything that I could afford. And, you know, it just wasn't working. I tried for like a solid year to get that skate shop open. And yeah, just couldn't do it. Couldn't make it work. The rents were like crazy for retail. So I just like pivoted to like, well, why don't I just do a team at first? And then maybe through the team and some doing some boards and some hoodies and stuff, maybe then eventually we can do a shop. But as I started the team, I was like, you know what? I'm glad I didn't do the shop. Like this feels so much better. And this feels so much like what should be going on with Bridge. And then I started at Ager. So it totally worked out that I hadn't started a shop, because now it's really cool to be a part of this shop and have helped it change and grow and become more part of the skate community, which it really wasn't before. Now it's like, you know, I really feel like it's part of that Golconda Fat Kid community, where now people are coming from there. You know, that park's pretty new as well, but you know, when I was skating there before I worked at Ager, I had no idea about that shop. So it's kind of cool to see how much it's part of that community now, which I'm super proud and stoked that it is.
Yeah, I think the skate community, especially within the last like couple of years, has definitely evolved like a lot. Like more people are skating a lot more now. I remember I had a group of friends like over the summer. We've kind of broken off now that it's the winter, but yeah, we used to skate all the time. And like you said earlier, like they helped me progress so much. And they progress so fast. Like I remember I was teaching one of them how to do pop shove-its back in like August. And then recently, like a couple of weeks ago, she landed her first half cab flip. And I was just, I went crazy because I'm like, you got so good so fast. Yep. From like August to January. Like that's like some crazy progression. And like all these small 9-year-olds are insane.
Like yeah. In the area.
There's so many of them that are crazy.
I mean, I remember teaching you how to ollie. Your progression is also insane. Because, like, after I saw you kickflip, I was like, whoa, she got good quick.
That was like a year ago. I remember I first learned how to ollie a year ago. Then I stopped for a bit. And then I picked it back up in May. And now I'm just, like, crazy with it.
When did you land your first kickflip?
It was September, I think. I was by, because like you said, so many street spots. Borough Hall has become a huge scene.
Yep, yeah.
I think I was there, and I was just so close, and I was like blasting my music. And I'm like, I have to land this, and I landed it, and I stuck it for like 3 seconds. And, like I came off, but I went insane, and then I started like landing them more consistently now.
Yeah, like you were talking about too with your friend landing a trick. That's, you know, it's so cool how in skateboarding is you can get so so excited for your friends when they're learning tricks too. You know, it almost feels like you land it when they land it. You know, the whole thing where like you go and you tackle your friend when they land something, like that's very much like a natural thing that happens in skateboarding. You see your friend land a trick and you're like, oh my god, like, you know, you're so excited for them.
I know, it's like when a team scores or like your teammate scores in a game.
Exactly. Yep.
It's like you help them in a way as well.
Yep. Which
makes it so awesome. I think Wilder kind of like tapped on this a bit earlier, but like what was skating like in Minnesota and Florida, like when it was less popular back then? Was it difficult?
For sure. Yeah, it was very different. So in Minnesota, I grew up in a really small town. So it was literally that one kid who skated. And then when I started skating, there were two skaters in the town. And he was much older than me. Like I was in elementary school. He was like, you know, like a sophomore or junior in high school. He was like a lot older than me. So even after I got that board, we never skated together. And Florida was much better, right? Because, you know, Florida kind of has that Cali vibe. Like it's a little more, it was more acceptable there, right? Like there were more skaters. But that being said, I still, like, I can tell you story after story where me and like two or three guys out skating and guys in pickup trucks with Confederate flags on the back of them pull up and beat us up. Or like, you know, we were beat up quite a few times, jumped by guys like that because we were the freaks, you know, the weirdos, you know. And so I remember running away from people a lot and getting made fun of. And it's very different. Skating is very mainstream now, which is really good. You can walk down the street with a skateboard. And like, I literally would be scared sometimes walking with a skateboard because most people would, you know, it wasn't accepted. Like you were an outcast a little bit. And part of me really liked that. Like it was the counterculture-ness of that, of being like feeling different, of not being a football player. But also, you know, it wasn't cool getting beat up because you skated. And then when I moved to New York, even in the early 2000s, skating wasn't as big. It was actually on a little bit of a decline. Like, yeah, I mean, here it was, it's so accepted. And there's so many skaters. You know, the first time I went to Brooklyn Banks and saw like, you know, 30 kids there, I was like, this is crazy. 30 skaters in the same place, like on a day that it's not a demo or a contest, you know, because that's the only time back in the early 90s that I'd see big groups of kids was like at skate contests and demos. I didn't go to that many because I, you know, in South Florida, they did, there wasn't a ton. But then Skate Park of Tampa opened, and then it was like that became a place that we would always go to. And then that whole scene really was amazing too in the early 90s. I was very lucky to have skated there when they were first opening and stuff.
Were you sponsored when you skated in Florida? Like by a couple of shops or?
You know, there was this surf shop called Fred's Surf Shop that the group of us kind of were, you know, sponsored kind of. Like it was really loose kind of a thing. Like he'd give us a board every once in a while. Like honestly, kind of how we sponsor people at Eager. Just like because we're not, you know, we're not a huge deal. We're a little shop. And so we do what we can for the people that skate for us. And Fred, this guy Fred down in Naples, Florida, did the same type thing. He would hook us up, especially those older kids that I was talking about, like Matt Milligan and Matt Gee and Alan Russell and Alyssa Steamer. They got some flow stuff from Fred's Surf Shop. But I really didn't have sponsors. All of those guys that I just mentioned, they went on to be pro skaters. But yeah, I never really got sponsored. I still skated, but from like my freshman to my senior year of high school, I was still skating, but I was surfing a lot. Like I kind of like switched my focus a little more to surfing. I was still skating, like I said, but I wasn't as dedicated as those guys because I had started surfing. So I was splitting my time between skating and surfing, where that group that I just mentioned, they just were head down skating. Like they had goals. They were going to become professionals, and they did.
The thing that you're talking about with like skating and surfing, I did a similar thing where I still skate a little, but mm-hmm. I'm doing like a lot of surfing right now.
Yeah,
because we were in Jersey all summer.
Yeah,
and yeah, I had a lot of fun surfing, but I'm trying to get back into skating a little, even though it's a little bit hard because of all the snow right now, which hasn't happened in like years.
Right. Yeah. You know, one thing that I've noticed about skating and surfing is that they've come closer. It's so funny, right? Because it's like surfers created skating, right? With the 2x4 and a pair of skates, right? That was the first skateboard. Steel wheels, roller skate wheels, nailed to the bottom of a 2x4. I have like an example of one at Eager, but it has modern skateboard trucks. I'm trying to track down like an old pair of roller skates to like actually recreate one of these first boards that these surfers made. But yeah, so surfing and skateboarding, they were like one, right? And then as the 80s went and 90s, they got further away. And I feel like now they're getting closer again. Whereas like you see professional skaters who rip as surfers and vice versa. And you see guys surfing the waves more like they're skating nowadays. Like I've seen guys doing kickflips, shove its, big, big, big airs, huge airs. And I think part of it too is all of these skate parks. You know, in the early 90s, there weren't public skate parks. New York City now, I think, has like 30 skate parks. And just 20 years ago, Brooklyn had one. Like Brooklyn had one, there was two in Manhattan, and now we have 30. Like, and it might be more than that now. I think it was 30 last I checked, and I know a couple new ones have popped up. So, and they're all, you know, where the city's constantly building skate parks. So that I think has something to do with it just because of all of this transition skating that's now available to everybody.
Yeah. And like in New York City, the street skating scene is also pretty big because you can go down a couple of blocks and you'll like find something to skate. Like, I know that's what me and my friend did, like, in the fall. We kind of just went around the neighborhood a bit and just, like, found places to skate and, like, get clips. And, you know, like, all these kids, they're making, like, edits and putting them on Instagram. Like, it's this whole big thing. And I think it's evolved with social media, too.
For sure. Yeah. Wow. It's so crazy what skateboarding's become through social media. Like, it's cool how it's changed. Like, you know, a little brand like Bridge couldn't have survived like we do pre like Instagram, you know, like it gives all of these little brands and just skaters, like skaters can promote themselves. It used to be like you needed the machine, you needed like the big company, the magazine to get known. You don't need that anymore, which is, you know, it's really cool. Like it's really, really cool. And like you were saying, Annabelle, like you can hit the streets and get some clips and make these really cool edits. And again, back to like self-expression, these edits like are so creative. Yeah, the stuff that everybody's putting together on Instagram, it's amazing to see all of the content. There's so much skating and so much good skating. It's really cool.
Yeah. This is kind of like our signature question to close it off. Like, what's one piece of advice you would give to 13-year-olds out there? Or what's one piece of advice you wish you had known when you were 13?
Wow, that's a hard question. Let me see. I mean, honestly, I might have told my 13-year-old self to not mellow out on skating like I did. Like, I mean, I don't regret that I was like I really enjoyed surfing and I got into it, but I do have a little bit of regret that I kind of eased up on my skating. Yeah, I wish I would have just kept going with it a little bit harder, and who knows. But you know what? Everything happens for a reason. I feel like 13-year-olds today are doing amazing things. The 13-year-olds today on a skateboard, they're doing stuff that I couldn't even imagine when I was 13. You're a great generation, and I feel like you guys are going to do some great things. That's not really answering the question, but it's a tough question. I don't know what I would tell myself. Oh, here you go. I would tell myself to keep all of those boards that I had from the like early 80s and 90s, because I really regret not having those.
What about something you would give to someone who wants to make their own skate company?
You know what? This is what I tell anybody who ever asks me, and I get asked that a lot. Just do it. Like we were just talking about with the social media and stuff, you can just do it now. And you know what? Like if it's something you're passionate about, you're gonna put in the work. And if you're putting in the work, it tends to be successful. Not always, but if you put in the work on something, you usually are gonna see, you're gonna get results. So, people ask me that all the time. What should I do if I want to start a company? And the simplest answer that I can give you is just do it. You know, Bridge, we started and we literally were just doing like vinyl t-shirts that we were doing at my friend's house in Brooklyn. Those small sales, we used the profits from those to buy the first batch of boards. Then the profits from those boards bought the next boards. And it just starts to happen, you know? You just got like, you know, walking, you just got to put one foot in front of the other. But honestly, do it. Like there's some people who complain, oh, there's too many little companies. There's too many this, there's that. I disagree. I feel like there should be a ton of little companies. I feel like, you know, it already happens. There's little cliques and, you know, little groups of people skating together. And you see that more and more, like, you know, Chub Boys. There's all these local, like little cliques and like little skate crews. And I think it's incredible. And I feel like all of those should be brands and all of those could be brands. And why not? There's plenty of people out there to buy stuff and support. That's another thing. So if you do start brands and you know people starting brands, support them. Like I'm really amazed and stoked that you have the hoodie on, Annabelle. Like that's what you should always do. You should support the skaters and the people that you like or that are in your community or that you feel are doing something cool. Support them.
Always support your local.
Yep.
That's kind of what I stand by for sure.
Sick.
Yeah. Everyone who listened to this episode, I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. Casey, you were a great guest. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. This is amazing. Like already, I feel like you guys have been doing this a while. I don't know what episode this is, but yeah, I can't wait to see this evolve. Like this is a really great idea.
Thank you so much, Casey, for being here. I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening to Things Every 13-Year-Old Should Know.
Be sure to follow us on social media
and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
One more thing. If there's anything you'd like to know about,
or if you have an idea of someone you'd like to hear us talk with,
get in touch with us at thingsevery13yearoldshouldknow.com.
Thanks again.